Join me in your Bibles over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And it was a record-breaking offering for the Gideons from WHC. We've never given as much to the Gideon work as we did this last Sunday. $2,600. Amen. And so praise God. Brother Ken was part of the Paducah Blitz. And actually, you spent some time, you said, Brother Ken, with our guest, the brother, does he say Reina? Is that his name? Reiner? Yeah, from Germany. Precious man. And so anyway, God bless you. That's coming back on us. Amen. I'm believing that our seed of those Bibles is going to produce an eternal fruit in people's lives. We don't give, amen, and nothing happened. God is using those funds to great effect. So praise God. Well, Father, as we approach your word tonight, I'm asking you to give me among these precious ones, give all of us supernatural revelation. Holy Spirit, unveil it. Cause it to dawn upon our spirits. Father, what you've given to us, what's available to us, what belongs to us in the name of Jesus. So that, Father God, we can be fruitful and effective in prayer and in our life of faith and in the ministry to which we have been called. Father, be glorified as the people lay hold of the word and begin to live that word. That's how your word is magnified and glorified. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. And so at the end of the service tonight, I intend, as the Lord would lead me, to lay hands on those that would, if you have sickness in your body, you have pain in your body of any kind, or if you feel like you need deliverance from something, you know, you got a habit, an addiction, some sort of mental bondage, anything going on where you feel like the devil's just had a grip on your life. Thank God Jesus is not just a Savior and a healer. He is a deliverer. He's a deliverer too. Amen. And so if you feel bound up in any way, just tripped up in any way, and you've been trying to break free, you just can't seem to do it. So be looking for that. Be expecting to come and receive what you need from God through the laying on of hands tonight. Amen. But before we do that, praise God. You know, we've been teaching on faith for a number of weeks here on Wednesday night. And it's right to do it because faith is the way we please God. Without faith, we can't please God. Amen. That word please in Hebrews means to satisfy. So if you want to satisfy God, amen, satisfy His what He requires, then we must live and walk by faith. Praise God. Another reason it's right and good is because in 1 John it says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's not our work ethic. It's not our just our human grit. That's all good. But it is our faith that is going to enable us to overcome the world and all that's in the world. Amen. And tonight as I prayed and meditated, God brought me back to having faith in the name. Faith in the name, I mean the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm sure that you today have used the name of Jesus. You haven't had the right kind of day if you've not uttered in the name of Jesus today. But as often as we would open a prayer, close a prayer, invoke the name of Jesus, we need to never allow that to become a dry, dead, lifeless utterance. Amen. Even something that's right and good and it's a wonderful habit, we can lose sight sometimes of what is that in the power, you know, of what is in what we're doing. Amen. It should not be a mindless sort of religious thing that we do to open a prayer and just close a prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is so much in the name. Amen. You know, I don't care what endeavor, what field of endeavor you want to bring up or talk about. To be a success in that endeavor, you have to know about the fundamentals. There are fundamental things. If you want to be a successful pastor, there are some fundamental things that you're going to have to master. Amen. If you're going to play pickleball. And by the way, it's open. If you got to just notify us, let us just come and use it. Don't wait on us to give you a chance. Amen. Anyway, praise God. But, you know, all sports, they're going to be fundamentals. One of the great NFL coaches, Lombardi, first practice every new season, even if he just won the Super Bowl, he would get his new team for the next year and he would hold up a pigskin and go, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now listen, just a few months ago, they won the Super Bowl. But what is he doing? He's saying, listen, if we're going to stay elite, if we're going to stay at the top, then we have to master the fundamentals. Well, if you want to live a vibrant, successful, fruitful Christian life, there are fundamentals to the Christian life. And I just don't think you get much more fundamental than the name of Jesus. Amen? So here in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to move quickly tonight to leave proper room to minister by the laying on of hands at the end. So stay with me. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse number 9. And Paul says, "Wherefore God," speaking of Jesus, the resurrected, exalted Lord, our Savior, "wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name." Amen? God gave Jesus a name which is above every name. Now, you could think of it this way. The name of Jesus is superior. It is superior. You know, some people were born into a great name. They're an heir of somebody famous or a king or a president or somebody like that. They were born into a name. Others, their name was made great by their achievements. Amen. Others had a name bestowed on them. Well, Jesus, his name is great for all three reasons. He was born a human being and given a name. And so he was born with a name. And that name is above every other name. Amen. But then the name of Jesus is superior to every other name because of his achievements. Because of what Jesus accomplished. What he won for us. What he did for us. What he purchased for us. Well, who he made us to be. Amen. And so his name is great for that. But then here we see that God gave him a name. This name was conferred upon him. Amen. And therefore, because of that reason, his name is above every name. Amen. But notice verse 10. This is not just about him. In verse 10 it says that at the name of Jesus. Notice the phraseology, at the name. In other words, you could say it this way, when the name of Jesus is invoked, at that name, when that name is used, when that name is presented, when a right biblical demand is placed on that name, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. You realize every atheist, every agnostic, everyone that died and cursed God will one day be raised up at the resurrection of the unjust. Amen. And they will bow their knee if they're made to. They will bow their knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I've already bowed my knee. I've willingly bowed my knee to him. I'm submitted to him. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now notice this, of things in heaven. Other translations will say beings. Beings. And I like that. Amen. Beings in heaven. Amen. Bow their knee. Glory to God. They're submitted to. Look at this. Things in earth. Things in earth. Beings in earth are subject to the name of Jesus. And look at this. And things or beings under the earth. You know, we have to do in all three of these realms. Hell wants to come against us. We have business to conduct in heaven. And there are beings on the earth. Amen. Glory to God. Well, thank God we have the name. Amen. And we need to have faith in the name. We need to just not know it and utter it. We need to have faith in the name. Turn back a few pages to Ephesians 1. And here Paul tells something to the Ephesians about his name that we need to get in here. So Ephesians 1:21 says, far above. See, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Far above all what? All principality, all power, and might, and dominion, and every name. Every name that is named. Amen. Bankruptcy is a name. Tragedy, that's a name. Car wreck, that's a name. Cancer, that's a name. Diabetes, that's a name. Amen. Every name that is named, everything that has a designation, Jesus has a name that is far above it. I said, Jesus has a name that is far above it. Glory to God. E.W. Kenyon said this. He said, all that Jesus was, His name is. All that Jesus was, His name is. Then E.W. Kenyon said this. He said, the name has lost none of the power of the man who bore it. Amen. I don't have it written here, but another thing I read from E.W. Kenyon on this. He said, all the miracles, all the mighty deeds that Jesus did locally when He was on the earth can be done locally now by simply using His name. Everything Jesus did in His earthly ministry, amen, is to be continued and done through His body, the church. And one of the ways that His ministry, His work that He started on the earth is continued and multiplied on a global scale, is He took that name that was conferred on Him, that name that He won for Himself, that name that God gave Him, and He gave it to you. He gave it to you. He gave it to you and me for us to use. God has given to every child of God the unqualified use of His name. Woo, glory to God. Go with me over to the book of John, chapter 14. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory to God. You know, if we'll get a revelation, not just get information, this will not help you if you approach this mentally. This will not help you if you approach this informationally. Amen. You have to get a revelation of it in your heart. It's got to dawn on your spirit. My God, when I use the name of Jesus in faith, it is as if Jesus just stepped into my body. He is now present on the scene. And what I declare or what I demand, what I command in that name, in line with His will and word, it will be accomplished just like as if Jesus were locally present to do it. It's like if Jesus was right there, if He was right there in front of me, amen? If I, through faith and knowledge, divine knowledge, I am prepared, I face a situation, amen, like I'm about to tonight, I'm going to face disease and bondages, amen? I can step into the body, I can step into Jesus. And when I put my hand on you in His name, it's not Chris Cody present. The Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, has come. And He's going to make good. He's going to make good. He's going to make real. Amen. You know what's... somebody asked, well, what's in a name? Well, it depends on what resources are aback that name. What authority is aback that name? What kind of ability is associated with that name? Y'all remember the orphan Annie? Y'all ever watch the original, you know, with Daddy Warbucks? Well, you know, this little orphan Annie, she's used to not having anything. She's used to living on scraps and having the worst of everything. But then she's brought into Daddy Warbucks' house. And now, see, she's got to renew her mind. Because now she's been given the right to access through Daddy Warbucks' name, ability and resources and power and authority she never dreamed she'd ever have. And when you were born again, the weakest, the smallest, the most undeveloped among us as Christians was given the full-throated, unobstructed right to use the name of Jesus the moment they got born again. The moment they got born again. And demons will flat tremble. Well, I've said the name of Jesus lots of times. Sure, see? No, that's because you spoke it mentally. You didn't mix faith with it. You've got to have a revelation of what you're using, of what belongs to you. Amen. So here in John chapter 14, let's look at a familiar verse, verse number 12. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Amen. Well, do you believe on him? You may not be called to a fivefold office like I am. Amen. And that doesn't make me better than you. But do you believe on him? If you believe on him, you're supposed to be doing what he did. Well, when he became active in ministry, everywhere he went, he was telling people about the good news of the kingdom. Well, are you telling anybody about the good news of the kingdom? Okay, we'll just leave that alone. Amen. You're supposed to be. Amen. And then when the occasion calls for it, when the opportunity arises, you are supposed, and I'm going to show you this, you are supposed to use the name of Jesus, amen, to produce confirming signs. Not the fivefold ministers by themselves, all of the believers. See, when you go to work, the kingdom of God comes. The body of Christ is where you go. You are his hands. You are his feet. Amen. If the folks out there are going to be won, you're going to win them. Amen. And you're not going to do that silently. So, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works shall than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Well, why is that important? Well, there's a lot to that. I don't have time to dwell on it. No, one is, when he went to the Father, the Holy Ghost was going to come in a new way. The baptism with the Holy Ghost was going to come upon people. And then instead of one anointed person walking around one little part of the planet, see, the genius of God, the plan of God is that the body of Christ has people, right? Jesus has people everywhere on every continent who were anointed with the same spirit Jesus was anointed with. That's why the Bible says, that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, had the devil known. Had the devil known what God was up to in getting Christ to the cross, he would not have crucified the Son of Glory. Because the devil thought he had trouble dealing with one Christ. Christ means anointed one. But now we being in Christ, we everywhere. But we're timid. And we're self-centered. And we're fat and lazy spiritually. But time is short and sand's getting light in that bottom of the hourglass. Amen. And I'm believing for 10,000 souls to be saved in McCracken County. Amen. Reverend Commel told me this morning that their ministry, God told them 18,000 in the larger area just through their ministry. Born again, baptized, added to the local church, filled with the Holy Ghost. Having prayer time with another local pastor. They've got big plans and visions for souls. Amen? And we, because, come on, right? Anyway, but let's get to verse 13. Verse 13 is going to tell us specifically why it's important. How are we, little old you, little old me, how are we going to do the works he did? Well, verse 13, 14 is going to show us. And whatsoever you shall ask in my what? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. So the work of Jesus is going to be continued throughout the church age. That was God's plan, as His people asked the Father in the name of Jesus for what they needed. Amen. Amen? This is the way you could apply this. You get into a situation, what would Jesus do? You get out there in your community and you come into company of someone who's really on the brink of a mental breakdown, what would Jesus do? Would he go, I'm not going to get involved in that? No, he sat there at the well. He went into an area that was taboo for Jews to go into, the area of Samaria, because he was on assignment to minister to one woman who was going the wrong direction in life. She'd had five husbands. The one she was with then was not her husband. But Jesus had an appointment with her. And he waited and he talked to her. See, he spoke up. Amen. So we're going to have to speak up. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't direct everybody to my healing ministry. Everybody you encounter that's got problems. You're supposed to say, Father, in the name, and lay your hands on them. And Jesus said, I'm going to work with you and I'm going to heal them because you prayed that in my name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 13. No, 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's an unqualified statement. Brother Ken, if you ask anything in my name, he said, he's going to take that personally. You just invoked his name and he gave you that right. He gave you that right. Amen. Now we don't have, he does not mean, Father, I ask you to give me 10 million oil wells. That's not in your name. That's not what he means. What would he do if he was present? He wants you to ask him to do that in his name, and he'll do it by his Spirit through you. You know, at some point, there's going to be a generation of Christian that gets this. And they're going to go out there and they're going to be giants in the land. They'll be spiritual giants in the land. You might as well be one of them. Stop waiting on me to give you permission to go out and be a blessing to somebody. Hallelujah. Look at John 16 while we're here. John 16. Verse number 23. Now if you don't have these marked, you got something to mark your Bible with, I'd mark them. If you don't, go back later and get this. Mark these in your Bible. Look at what it says in John 16, 23. John 16, 23. We're talking about faith in the name of Jesus. And in that day, Jesus said, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So this authority to use the name of Jesus goes all the way to the throne. And it is his very throne that backs up that name. Amen. It's, you know, there is some credit if you're genuinely authorized as a leader in the church or whatever, and you go in my name and say, Pastor said, well, that's got a little clout to it. You know, around here at least, you know, in this building. Got a little bit of clout. But listen, you could stand in front of stage 4 cancer looking down at skin and bones. And as, you know, again, we're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We're never not led by the Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, you know, he's with you. You could stand over that death and say, in the name of Jesus. You say, Father, I know you always hear me. You said, Jesus said, hitherto I've asked nothing. Ask the Father in my name. He said, I'll do it. It goes all the way to the throne. That's why a young Lester Sumrall, a new missionary in the Philippines, when he heard on the radio about this young girl that was being bitten by demons in this medical clinic, this prison, and the bites would physically appear on her body. They couldn't see the demon, but the bites would physically appear. That when God told him to go, he said, go and deliver her. He said, I'm new. I don't know anybody here. They're not going to let me in there. And he said, just get somebody else. And God said, I don't have anybody else. But see, he went. And he went in Jesus' name. And that girl was supernaturally delivered. And it was broadcast everywhere across the island. He was given the key to the kingdom of the Philippines Islands. The president of the country said, what is it that I can do for you? Or the mayor of Melilla, he said, I'm trying to hold a meeting and I can't get anybody. And he got the Colosseum or whatever. And over the course of some time, over 100,000 people came to Jesus. And it all started because one man was willing to stand toe-to-toe with a major devil and use the name of Jesus. Look at John 16, 24. Jesus went on and said, hitherto or up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and what you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Amen. Glory to God. So we're to be using and invoking the name of Jesus in our prayer lives. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Hope you're getting something. Now, intellectually in your mind, you may say, I know all this. Well, do you? In Acts chapter 3, that's where we're going. For time's sake, I'm gonna quote something. You know, I was, for my mentoring class, I was studying on longevity, and so I was in Psalm 91, of course, because the last verse says, with long life, I'll satisfy you and I'll show you my salvation. The verse above that says, and I'll read it to you in the Amplified. It says, because the one that I'm going to deliver, he has set his love on me. Me is God. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Now when God sets you on high, that's going to be a game-changing thing in your life. Well, the next word is because. And it says, because he knows and understands my name. Did you get that? That's in the Amplified. So God says, I'm going to deliver him and I'm going to set him on high. Why? Because he is known and understands my name. You know, one of God's names in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha. It translates to this, the Lord my physician or the Lord my healer. Well, sadly, so many of our brothers and sisters across the body of Christ, they don't know or understand that he is our physician, that he is our healer. And that's a reason why God is not able to deliver them, to set them on high in health. Because they have not accepted the present day reality that his name is still Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord my healer. He is the Lord my physician. Hallelujah. So you've got to know and understand, amen, the name. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, when that name is uttered in faith, heaven stands to attention. Jesus is listening on the throne. And when there's faith in that, it's not just a religious utterance. When there's faith in that, he's going to move. He's going to respond. Amen. I just got so much here and I just don't have time. Where are we? We're in Acts chapter 3. Let's look at the name being used. Now, here in Acts chapter 3, Jesus is gone. Jesus is not physically present. He has ascended to where he is right now at the Father's right hand. Amen. But he had given the disciples his name to use. You remember that? Amen. And so here, let's look at a day in the life of Peter and John. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This is about 9 in the morning. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Okay, we don't know how old he was. Probably a young man. He's in maybe, let's call him in his 20s. He's in his early 30s. Think about him in that day and hour, of course. He never walked. He never knew what it was like to stand up on the strength of his feet. He never ran and played like other children. And now his days are spent begging. He's carried there every morning and and home every night. His life is leaning on the generosity of someone who will put a coin in his cup. Now that's a sad situation. And medically, it's an impossible situation. Are you with me? And in verse 2, he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter, so this man sees Peter and John approaching, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, look at this, fastening his eyes upon him. See, I love the Holy Ghost. This is where you got to lean on the Holy Ghost. You don't just randomly pick out someone to work a miracle on. You don't. You know, you think this is the first day Peter and John went to prayer? Oh no, they're going every day. They're going every day to pray. So they have, if they go there, you know, I'm a creature of habit. We're creatures of habit. No doubt they walk through the beautiful gate multiple times a week. And they laid this man, the Bible says daily, right there. They might have known this man. They've no doubt Peter and John at some point have dropped some money in the cup. Maybe they spoke to him. Maybe they were kind to him in other ways. But today, the Holy Ghost saw fit to quicken Peter and John. You know, I bet that Jesus, he hadn't been in heaven very long, just a matter of weeks. I bet he walked by this man. I bet he did. I bet we'll ask him when we get there. But this day, notice there's this look, and the man has got his eyes. Well, does it say Peter and John? Yeah, Peter and John fastening his eyes on him. So Peter, all of a sudden, he takes a second look. I've done that before. Being in the ministry, and all of a sudden, my eyes, why am I being drawn to Brother Jerry? Why? Just by example. Why am I keep drawn? Because the Holy Ghost has something. Jesus has something. So I need, as a minister, I have to pay attention to that. I said, I have to pay attention to that. God may want to say something. God may want to minister something, may want to impart something. You have to pay attention. So this is a leading, this is a quickening of the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that. But now, once we are quickened, once Peter is quickened, the Holy Ghost has arrested him. Let's read on. It says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, the beggar, expecting to receive something. It didn't even say healing, but it says expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Everyone say that. Such as I have. Did Peter call what he's about to say a personal possession? He said, the Cody translation would say, I'm sorry, brother, I left my wallet in the car. Amen. I don't have any cash on me, but such as I have, give I thee. I want to stop right there. Peter knew he had something. Peter knew he had something. That's number one. Number two, Peter knew he could give it away. Listen, you need to know, child of God, you have something. You have something when you go to the mall. You have something when you go out in the community. You have something when you go to work. And you need to know, number two, quickened by the Holy Ghost, you can give it away. You can give away what you have. And you don't have to fear that he won't back it up. What did he say? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Another verse says, he will do it. He didn't say he might. He didn't say they'll get back to you. They'll vote on it. You'll get an email later. No. He said he would do it. Amen. And so he said, silver and gold, verse 6, I do not have. But such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? Look what he did. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter made a demand on a distant Jesus. But now, see, Peter and John are taking the place of Jesus in the beggar's life right then. Now, don't let that bother a religious mind. We're not him, but we're in him. And we're commissioned by him. And we're called by him. And we're authorized of him. And we are going to give an account to him. Amen. For how we lived out our part of his ministry on this earth. And so, Sister Ashley, the name of Jesus uttered in your mouth in faith will do exactly what it did in Peter's mouth. It's the same name, same authority, same God backing us up as is backing Peter up. So he says, in the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Woo! Hallelujah. What brought about this miracle of healing? Couple things. Number one, a quickening of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And number two, someone willing to give away what they knew they had. Amen. Glory. I want you to leave here and be more willing than you've been to give away what you have. Amen. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that it won't work. Don't be afraid to fail. This guy's already lame. Right? He's already not got feeling. Amen. But notice, there's a business transaction that happened here. And from that invisible realm, from that high place that Jesus sits, from the moment of time the name was invoked and the man was jerked up, before it came time for him to put weight on those legs, power flowed. And they got the exact same result Jesus would have gotten had Jesus been there in the flesh. You know where you ought to start? You ought to start building confidence in the name of Jesus on your own family, in your own life. You look yourself in the mirror, right? You got a lump, you got a bump, you got a pain, you got an ache. Come on, stir yourself up on the name, on what you have. Amen. And you say, listen, I speak to you, knee. In the name of Jesus, you straighten up. Pain, you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Get out your unpaid bills. Amen. And speak to them. And when the devil is working on you, he's trying to cover you up with fear or worry or anxiety or depression, recognize that as a work of the devil. Amen. And begin to, with authority, with faith in your heart, address those demonic spirits. Address those situations and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, cease and desist in your maneuvers. Amen. Amen. You know, when Jesus was teaching Brother Hagin, trying to get him out of poverty, and they were just in a desperate situation. I don't have time to take you all there. And one of the things Jesus taught Brother Hagin in this time of prayer was, he said, from now on, don't ever again pray about money the way you've been praying. Well, how was he praying? Begging, bawling, squalling, crying, moaning, complaining. And by doing that, they eked by a living. And he said, okay. And then Jesus taught him how to pray. Number one, he said, I'm not holding back on you. That's the devil. And so that money's down there in the earth. I'm not going to rain down dollars on you. I'm not a counterfeiter. It's already down in there, everything you need. Claim what you need. Oh, name it. Yeah, I don't have time. Jesus, claim what you need. Amen. And then the next thing he said do is address the devil, because he's the one withholding. He's the thief. He's the one that is trying to keep your money from flowing to you. And he said, now, Satan, take your hands off my money in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, it don't matter what the devil thinks about you. Your name's written in his book, and he gave you a blank checkbook. Jesus did. And he signed it, put his name on the blank, and said, listen, you fill this out. Here's a blank checkbook. You need more checks, just call me. My name's on it already. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So if you need to purchase yourself some healing, write the check. Glory to God. Amen. Oh. Glory to God. You know this story. So if you advance with me to the 16th verse, they got interrogated and persecuted, Peter and John did, because of this healing and because of the name that they did it in. Amen. And so in answering, the people are running to them. Some of them want to marvel and think that their gods have got superhuman power, so they're trying to calm those folks down. Others are persecuting him. For time's sake, pick it up with me in verse 16 of Acts 3. It says, Peter and John, he's explaining how this healing happened. Look at verse 16. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. What did it? The name did it. The name did it. I said the name did it. But then not just the name. Faith in the name. Maybe for a short season, say the name of Jesus less. Or if you're going to say it, pause. Hook your heart onto it. Be intentional. Let this sermon replay real quick in your mind on 100 times speed. Don't just utter it mindlessly. Even when you're praying over your food, mean it. I said mean it. Praise God. You know, I don't have time. Maybe next week we could go further in this. But let's close in Mark 16. But it would be, you're probably still studying what I told you to study last week. But it's a very interesting study to trace the use of the name of Jesus through the book of Acts. And everything Jesus did in the Gospels was repeated in the book of Acts. And everywhere those things, whether people were being delivered from demons or healed like in this miracle, or prayers were being made, you'll see the name. The name, the name, the name, in the name. Remember that girl that had the spirit of divination that followed Paul around for many days? Finally, grieved in his spirit, quickened by the Holy Ghost, he finally said, enough. And he turned to that girl and he said to that spirit, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. See, a demon's not going to do anything because I say so. But when I say so from my position in him, they have to go. I said, they have to go. They cannot stay. So here in Mark chapter 16, am I doing pretty good, Kamal? This is your kind of sermon, isn't it? All right. Hallelujah. You could say amen a little louder. Okay, praise God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, look at what Jesus said. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who are in the fivefold ministry? No. Those who believe. Well, you believe. Amen. So these signs ought to be following you. That's not a rebuke, but have it as an expectation. And then what's the next thing? He said, these signs will follow them that believe. How's that going to be produced? How's that going to come to pass? In my name. In my name. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents, talking about demonic powers. In my name, if they were to drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will. King James says, they shall. They shall get better. They shall amend. It didn't say instantly everything, but it says they shall recover. Yeah. So when you pray for your family, when you invoke the name of Jesus, amen, glory to God. Here's the minimum of what we know. If we can get, even tonight, as I prepare to minister to you, if you'll just open your heart a little bit, if you'll just cooperate with me and God a little bit, Amen. I've been meditating on the name of Jesus for about 4 days. Amen. And I've got a renewed faith in the name of Jesus. And I'll lay my hands on you. And if a devil needs to go out or loose you in some way, amen, he's going to do it. Amen. And if there's sickness in your body, pain in your body, something going on in your body you don't like, should not be there, at that moment you will begin to amend. You may get it all in one little shot right there. But that doesn't matter if it doesn't work like that. It says right there, they shall recover. From that moment, you'll enter into the recovery process. If and I were you, I would go and say that after hands were laid on me. I'm in the recovery process. Praise God. Jesus is not going to fail. I had hands laid on me by my pastor in the name of Jesus, and bless God, it shall come to pass as sure as it did for the man at the gate beautiful. Because Jesus is the same. I said, Jesus is the same. What's been troubling you? Invoke the name. Find you a scripture and invoke the name of Jesus over that scripture. You shouldn't be suffering with depression. I shouldn't. Amen. We should not be crippled with anxiety. We should not be paralyzed or hindered in any way with fear. Amen. And we're just talking about one of the mighty weapons. The mighty weapons that God has given us to use. Amen. Amen. Honey, would you come to the keyboard?